Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny Games cast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Andy, when are you going to change up the games cast intro to include yourself and then change me out of Sonic?
What's going on with the Sonic hate? What's going on?
After 2.5 years, which, first of all, I've been here 2.5 years. That's fucking wild. I asked for it, not realizing that I was being asked for it. Because if you remember, I think it came up during like my up and comers week during We Have Cool Friends, where Greg asked me, like, yo, if you were on Gamescast, like, what would your intro be? And I think I at the moment I said Sonic. I didn't realize that was going to be taken as gospel, and that for the next 2.5 years, I would have to see the furry version of me as Sonic in the intro every single week in and week out.
Just embrace it. Would you either be Sonic or who'd you dress up as for the Sonic review? Tails, right?
Yeah, it was Tails. It was the worst Tails you've ever seen, though. I don't know. I would have to think. You'd have to give me like a few days or so to like figure out who I'd want to be. It's just the thing of there's so much baggage with Sonic.
I'm tired of being attached to that baggage. Let me just say this. Once upon a time ago, great start. Once upon a time, several years ago, I was drawing fan art of the guys in pixel art form. Once upon a time, Andy Cortez, the Nitro Rifle, used to do 8-bit animations, kind of like the idle Scott Pilgrim animations, you know, like the kind of like wobbly sort of idle animations. And I've been researching all sorts of different software because I want to revamp Gamescast like everybody's been asking for. I'll put, you know, Blessing still a Sonic somehow, maybe God Knuckles this time, maybe Knuckles Big the Cat. We're trying to figure it out.
I like this. I like everything I'm hearing. I also like the fact that, you know, I don't know if it's in this current iteration we have, but in the original version of the Gamescast intro, we each had two different outfits. So I was Crash Bandicoot, but I was also what a lot of people think is Cloud Strife. But no, it is in fact specifically Zach Fair, as featured in Crisis Core, that we're getting the fucking remake of, baby. Winter 2022/2023, whatever that means. I can't wait. I'm living my best life. But you already know.
How are you feeling
a
week later?
Oh, bless. I've watched the reaction video no less than 100 times, and I get just as happy every single time. I can't believe we're living in a world that we're getting this much Final Fantasy VII remake. This is just, it's perfect. It's utterly perfect.
Man. So this game's going to be cool. Is it going to be like a cool, you know, flashy Final Fantasy game?
Yes, it's not going to be at the level of remake, but
right.
It was in 2007 when it first came out. It was already like the first step towards the more action focused Final Fantasy type combat that we got a lot more of in like 15 and things like that. And yeah, it's going to be dated in a lot of ways because it's not fully being a remake from the ground up. It seems like this one is kind of more just like, hey, it's the exact same game, just a lot prettier and with more VO and things like that. But it is going to be a great experience, and it's short enough that like you can get over the bad stuff and not worry about it. But very excited for you to play it, Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Love it. I'm very excited as well. That conference looked awesome. I was, unfortunately, that was a day that I had like four things or something like that. So I decided to nix that from it. But I'm excited for you all, the Final Fantasy fans. And I'm excited to hop in as well, just because I loved 7 Remake. I had an absolute blast with it. I had the pleasure of being a part of the review crew for that. And that game is just like one of those. I think it's so flashy, and I think it's so fun to play combat-wise that you kind of discount the fact that it is one of these technical powerhouses that we usually attribute.
The character models.
Yeah, we usually attribute to the Naughty Dogs when it comes to that level of fidelity. But Final Fantasy VII, aside from the Doors, was a technical powerhouse.
I was gonna say, like, beautiful. Do you feel like the Doors are a worthy sacrifice for getting so many of these games out so quickly? Because you're getting Crisis Core this winter. You're getting Final Fantasy VII Rebirth next winter. And then you imagine that, like, Final Fantasy Remake Part 3 is not going to be far too after that. Are you fine with the Doors being not as great?
Well, we're getting them on these current-gen consoles. We're getting the PS5 version.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, we're getting the kind of versions that will run, and they are aware, I assume, are aware that, you know, hey, we have more juice under the hood. Let's use it. So I'm stoked for that.
I want to talk about this more in just a second, but I do want to round out the group, do the final intro here, making one of his rare video appearances on the Kind of Funny Games cast, the sad boy himself, Barrett Courtney. Don't do that face ever again. Everyone that's an audio listener, you got to come over and listen to watch the podcast here, because, like, Barrett just made the most off-putting Barrett face I have ever seen. You can't even capture it again now. This is fine. What you did a second ago, though. Barrett, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm excited to be on here to talk about some video games. And as far as the Final Fantasy VII remakes go, I'm willing to check out Part 2. I'm willing to check out Part 2 and see where they go from here. I wasn't as into where they decided to take the first remake as y'all were. I'm one of those basic fans who just like it. Just make the original game. But you know what? If Crisis Core is coming to current gen consoles and stuff like that, maybe I'll get into Crisis Core, Tim, and maybe I'll see what they're trying to sell me here with these new remake games. You know?
Oh yeah. There's a lot of hullabaloo in Crisis Core specifically. I do want to say, though, just to set the expectations straight. So Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is PS5. Final Fantasy Crisis Core Final Fantasy Reunion is actually not a PS5 game. It's going to be on PS5, but it's everywhere, including Switch. So it's like it's going all the way down.
And that's also the game that
made it look like remake, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also the game that they realize isn't going for that level of fidelity. It looks very much like not a full remake, but in some ways, like, closer to a remaster in some ways. Like, it doesn't have
apparently they called it a remaster. I had a big argument on a recent Games Daily toward the end of it, because we were talking, it was on Fridays with Jana, because we were talking about it being a remake and all this stuff, and then, like, your wrongs were like, oh, Square is actually calling it a remaster, to which I was like, bullshit, like, this game didn't look like that on the PS2.
The thing is, though, they're using that nomenclature to explain that this is the same game. Like, it's not, there's not going to be whispers, there's not going to be changes to the story and all that stuff. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. It's like, this is a
remake.
A lot more effort and work put into it than a remaster traditionally entails.
It also reminds
this
me
did
of...
Not, this is not how it looked on PSP, I'll tell you that.
It reminds you of Nier, though. Nier Replicant. How that game doesn't look... That game now doesn't really look like it did on PS3. It looks significantly enhanced, and it looks like it could be a current gen game, but you go back and look at the older version and you go, oh shit, yeah, like they're replacing models. Yeah. They are like, yeah, this is a lot
is that
of work
even a,
put
a
into
greater
it.
Degree. Because, like, Nier Replicant, you know, you're talking about Replicant came out on PS4, and then, like, Nier the original one came out on PS3, right? So you're talking about like a one generation remake versus this, which is, you said it came out on PSP. I assumed it was PS2.
PSP.
So that's even crazier. Like, the fact that they're taking a PSP game and turning it into this, which, you know, from what we're seeing in the trailer, looks like remake. I'm sure when we're actually playing it, it might not look as hot because it's on everything, including Switch. But even still, like, this is for sure, ground up remake. It looks hot. I can't wait for this.
Yeah, it looks. I guess when I first saw these sort of trailers that y'all were reacting to it, I assumed it was going to be a lot less than what we just saw. So it's very exciting to see that level of work being put into it.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you guys to experience it, because it is one of my favorite video game endings of all time. Like, it is such a special thing. So, and it's going to fit so nicely into the story they're telling. But anyways, enough about the future. Let's talk about the now, because this is the Kind of Funny Games cast, where each and every week we get together to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. You can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or roosterteeth.com. You can also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games cast, and we'll be right there for you. If you wanted to get the show ad-free, if you wanted to watch live as we record it, and if you want to get the exclusive post show that features my favorite game show, Bless Who, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire, Gordon McGuire, Fargo Brady, Tyler Ross, Delaney Twinning, First Responder ND, Olive Party from the KF Community Discord, Julian the Gluten Free Gamer, Alex J. Sandoval, Casey Andrew, and James Hastings have all done. We appreciate you all so very much. If you don't have any dollars to toss our way, that's totally cool. Use our Epic creator code anytime you're using the Epic store. It is kind of funny. You could use it for all your Rocket League needs, your Fortnite stuff. Now, Fall Guys, go check it out. All the new Fall Guys stuff. If you're buying things, please use Epic creator code kinda funny. Some housekeeping for you. The KF Summer Collection is live now on kindoffunny.com/store. You can check that out. There's a bucket hat. There's a really dope all over smiley print button-up shirt. So if you want to look like Snowbike Mike, now you can live your dream. But enough of all of that stuff. There's been two video games in particular that I know all of us have been playing to different extents that I'm very excited to talk about. I want to start with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. I want to start with Andy Cortez. What are your thoughts?
Let's get the negativity out of the way.
Let's get it out. Let's get the negativity out of the way. What do you got to say about this?
This is a gorgeous art style. They you know, Dotemu. I don't know how to pronounce the developer's name. I think it looks like Dotemu, like dot emulator, like maybe.
Emulator. That's how I used to pronounce it. Yeah. But Google told me I was wrong. I think it's Dotemu.
Oh, damn. It's unfortunate. I think it is a little too, like, we gotta stay and feel like a classic beat-em-up brawler for it to feel fun for me. It's fun once you start fighting shit and I get into the same sort of, like, here's the problems that I have with beat-em-ups. Movement is just really slow. You could sprint left to right. And moving up and down just feels like the slowest thing in the world. And it just annoys the hell out of me. And I had tweeted about it, talking about some issues with it. And Jared Petty was telling me about that. It's likely because the perspective of the vertical axis, you're looking at it in a perspective. So it would appear that you're moving slower up and down, even though you're covering the same space and you would left to right. To me, I'm like, all right, well, we're looking at this way too scientifically. Just make the game faster and funner. Make it feel more modern, because when I'm actually engaging with enemies, I have fun with it. And then I find myself having to avoid attacks in the vertical axis, and I just feel like helpless, and it feels slow and sluggish to me. And yeah, I've decided that, like, modern beat-em-ups, unless they're doing something to help with the vertical movement in a way, like some people in my Twitter comments are like, yeah, there's a cool dodge button, a dash button where you could kind of roll horizontally, and that's great. I love that. But if there was, like, just a little vertical hop to kind of, like, help you move a bit quicker and not feel as just super sluggish. It's great when the game is predominantly horizontal, but there are some sections where you do have to move more in a vertical sense, and it's just like, it feels so old and dated. And I get that that's the sense it's supposed to feel classic, but it's a little too classic in my opinion. And it just doesn't feel super fun for me to play. And I've decided, you know what? I'm clearly in the minority. Everybody loves this game. I'm in the wrong. You all have your fun. I won't play these games anymore. Talk shit and be annoyed about them.
Barrett, what's your take on it?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was into beat-em-ups, like, around the time when, like, the Scott Pilgrim game came out, and, like, playing a lot of that those kind of games with friends, growing up with, like, the X-Men and Simpsons Arcade. And when the Scott Pilgrim beat-em-up game got re-released, what was that, like, last year, maybe 2 years ago at this point? It was one of those things, like, I think we played it on a stream, and, like, quickly in 30 minutes, it was like, oh, this feels like a 10-year-old beat-em-up game. And I remember Blessing and I kind of, like, our engagement with it, like, fell really fast. Yeah. And it was one of those moments.
Like, you felt it immediately upon, yeah, like, picking up the controller. It's like, oh, this, yeah, feels like a classic beat-em-up.
And correct me if I'm wrong, live chat over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Was that a straight-up port, or did they change anything with bringing it to modern consoles? I can't remember.
Just a port.
Yeah.
I think it was just a port.
It was, like, in that moment where I was like, oh man, do I not like beat 'em ups anymore? And then with the anticipation of this game, like I don't have like the, I like the Turtles. I don't have the same level of like love and nostalgia for the Turtles as a lot of others do here at Kinda Funny. Like I kind of experienced the Turtles through my little cousin who really likes Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So it wasn't even like that factor. I don't know what got me into it where I was like, let me try this out. I want to try give another kind of modern beat 'em up a shot. And I definitely see what you're talking about, Andy. It just doesn't bother me as much because going into here was like, oh, no, it's not beat 'em ups that I'm tired of. It's just like they Scott Pilgrim just I don't think aged super well. Whereas this, it's like it feels, I don't know, it feels like a modern beat 'em up to me where it's like they have simplified things in a way that makes it feel fun. Like there always is a forward momentum, the way that they play with the art style, all of the fun animations, all the fun little secrets. The soundtrack is great. It's such a great like co-op with your buddies type of game as well. You can check out over on youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Mike and I beat it in one sitting where, you know, Blessing joined us for a little bit and then Roger jumped in like at the surprise last minute to help us beat it in 3 hours and stuff like that. It was like a great time, and I do wonder if the playing it with friends on content element added to it, added to like my enjoyment of it. But even like playing solo the day before and like playing like the first like 6 or 7 levels on my own, like I was still having like a great time, even though I don't have the same level of nostalgia for the Turtles. I thought I was falling out of beat 'em up games and stuff like that, but I was really impressed, and I was like grinning from ear to ear the entire time, even when we had those moments where like, oh, we're not doing super great against this boss, or that, you know, there's one boss I tried to fight on my own that I didn't do super well against. Like I was just having a really fun time. Like this is a surprise release for me just because of how little I was really anticipating it before it came out, and I could see this easily being in my top 10 of the year.
I also just want to point out, when I got to one of the bosses, it's never a good feeling when I feel like I'm playing Trek to Yomi. And what I mean by that is like when I was getting one of these engagements, I was like, I'm not having fun right now. I'm so pissed off at this game that, like, you know, this thing's coming at me and my character's just fucking trying to avoid it. It's just like, I was like, fuck this game. I'm done. I'm fucking done. Wow. I'm not good enough.
I definitely get where you're coming from, because like I think for me, I'm also not somebody who's super into beat 'em ups, and I think it was Scott Pilgrim that opened my eyes into that, and then this game that probably doubled down on that for me. Like this is one where like as I'm playing and I'm like, man, I wish I liked this genre more, and like I have so much I think I come down on it of like having so much respect for this game, because I think presentation wise, music, visuals, like it knocks so much of that stuff out the park, right? Like, I remember being at the airport and, like, sitting next to Tim, and Tim shows me a Switch, and Tim's, like, on one of the levels that, I think it was, like, it was, like, some kind of, like, on-rails type thing. Okay, yeah, and it had, like, some rap music playing, and, like, Tim shows me, and I'm, like, oh, that's dope as fuck. Like, I need to play this game. If not just for, like, Raekwon and Ghostface Killer on the mic. And so, like, I jumped into that with that in mind of, like, okay, let me get into... just the pure like presentation and see if that does it for me, if the style will speak to me. And I think this, for me, the style did work, but I have a lot of the same gameplay qualms that I think Andy has in terms of, oh man, this just doesn't feel as fun to play. Like I had fun playing it with Mike and Barrett, I think, for the hanging out aspect of it. You know, it's like, I think beat 'em ups are really good for turning your brain off and just going with the flow and hanging out and kicking it and all that stuff. And I think for me, the game really worked for that aspect, but gameplay wise there wasn't much for my brain to like hold on to in terms of, oh shit, all right, this is a mechanic I can get behind, or oh shit, this is something that like, you know, really like opens the game up for me. Like I never had any of those moments, and granted, like I'm not like, I've played way more of a limited amount of the game than you guys, because I think I just played on that stream like maybe a little bit more, and that was about it, so like probably like an hour and a half to 2 hours, but like as of now, I'm not that inclined to go back to it.
Tim, how do you feel?
Andy, I think you're right at the end of the day when it comes to the type of gameplay that you're talking about would enhance this experience, and I think make the genre and this game in particular even more of a hit to more people out there, and like more people that like might just be like, oh, they take one look at this and they're like, that's nifty, but like I'm not actually going to play it, like I'm looking for something a little bit more modern. But I absolutely loved this game. Like it was very much made for me in so many different ways. But you guys talk about the presentation and all that. Like, I think that they 10 out of 10 knocked this out of the park. Like, this is not only a beautiful homage to the 1980s Turtles cartoon, it is also an homage to just the 90s obsession with the Turtles in general. There's references to the movies. There's references to the other games. The world map from this game is very reminiscent of the world map of the original NES Turtles game that infamously Angry Video Game Nerd made his video on. And like, that's not a side-scrolling beat 'em up at all. Yeah, like Barrett has it right here. Those little moments meant so much to me playing through. I always talk about how with Cuphead, that even if you find it too hard, you owe it to yourself to pull up a YouTube video and watch someone else play through it so you could just see how much artistry was put into the backgrounds, the different phases of the bosses and all that. I think what this game does best is it is essentially Cuphead, but easy, where it might not be the most engaging gameplay of all time, but every single thing you're doing, you're being constantly rewarded every screen with some fun new animation of the Foot Clan doing something, or a surprise cameo popping in left or right, or like little things like even here, just having Krang's head, like just kind of like sad, like bopping up and down as you do the Rat King fight. Like, there's just so much love put into every single choice in this. And we were talking about the soundtrack earlier. Like, I'm one of the biggest T. Lopes fans in the world. He did the soundtrack for Sonic Mania, and he's got the stuff. Like, he just understands how to emulate certain styles and vibes and add his own modern twist to it, where all of these sound like Turtles in Time just dialed up to 2022. And the inspired choice of having the different rap tracks, specifically the Shredder fight, having Ghostface Killah, like,
oh my god, it's
just one of those perfect video game moments that you can't really put words to, because it just feels just absolutely too good to be true.
It's bizarre and hyped, and it's like one of those, like, it goes over the top in a very like almost anime kind of way too, like the way he's like super Shredder as well. And yeah, with the rap track that like shouldn't work, but it does for whatever reason.
It's maybe Turtles, man.
Maybe because Vanilla Ice, you know, way back in the day.
MC Hammer. All that.
All that. Like, it works so, it works so well. And just seeing, like, the characters interact with each other when you're playing with friends and you, like, one of them gets knocked down and they have, like, the pizza, like, out to, like, have the turtle wake up. Like, just little stuff like that I absolutely adore for this game.
Yeah, man, it's those little things. And like, you know, me and Andy did Ninja Turtles in Review that you can watch over on youtube.com/kindoffunny recently, where we went through all the movies. And I think one of the most important parts of the Turtles is New York City as a character itself. And I think that this game, being so focused in New York, just has so many of those fun moments and so many references to, again, Turtles at large, whether it's the games, the comics, the movies, the shows, everything. There's just so much. Getting the original voice actors, hearing Rob Paulsen as Raphael, like, all of that, it just hits all the notes it needs to. And to Andy's point about the gameplay kind of and Blessing a little bit about it being a little like simple and going through it, I'm with Andy that the vertical mobility could use a lot of work. Even in things like we're seeing here where you're on the flying hoverboards and you're attacking the guys, it's clear where their shadows are, but it's still kind of always a little difficult to hit them exactly the way you want to. And sometimes it feels like I know what I need to do, but it's just my hands aren't getting there for whatever reason, and that can get frustrating. But
so many times that I was on the skateboard that I was like, all right, this time I am lined up with this floating pizza with the balloon on it, and I would miss it every goddamn time because I think the turtle's shadow is not what just because the turtle shadow is aligned with the pizza shadow doesn't mean that the pizza is there. And it had one of those weird alignment things. And that like definitely caused some frustration. But yeah, just a little up and down hop. I just need like a you know, like let me move a little bit quicker.
And I get why they don't have it. Like, that's the thing, is like, and I'm not defending it because I'm with you on this. It's just the way that it works is because every screen is such an event to itself, and there is that level of animation of both background characters, background things you're interacting with, things that are just like there just to kind of like block you or walk past or whatever. Like, if it was more vertical, it would be a completely different type of game, which I would love to play that type of game. But I think that I understand why they limit your mobility of not being able to double tap up, double tap down to do a quick up or down, just because everything would have to be rethought. But it is weird. Like, and you know, we were telling our stories about our past with these games. I I kind of had a similar come to Jesus that I don't love this genre a long time ago when Turtles in Time was first remade on the Xbox 360. And it was when they were re-releasing Simpsons and X-Men and all of that stuff on different consoles. And I remember playing it for like 15 minutes and being like, oh man, like I don't want to do this. Like the games were designed to eat your quarters at arcades, right? Yeah. It was like they were designed to be just a little harder than they needed to be, but be just good enough to want you to keep going and put another quarter in it and keep going. So for this game, there has to be a hook that you're not feeling the need to put quarters in and all that. So what is it going to be? And I think that the story mode of this game found an excellent way to do that, which is having you have the leveling system of going from 1 to 10. Every time you get a level, you get something new, whether it's more hit points, an extra life, a new move, a different ability. That was the type of stuff that I think the game did a really good job in story mode, at least single player, of pacing level to level. How level one is very easy, but by the time you get to like level 10 or 11, there are some actual challenging moments that you really need to learn all the, or use all the things that you've learned going into it. And that's not just the basic techniques and stuff. It's also these new moves. So I'm like, should I use my air special now, or should I wait and use my ground special in the second phase of this boss or whatever? And that was a deeper level of thinking that I expected to have at any point in this game when I first started playing it. So once we get into the last couple levels, I was surprised at how, I don't want to say difficult it got, but how challenging and engaging it got, because it definitely started off a little bit like fail-proof, where you are just like going right and punch, 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 and that's it. But I think that they did a good job of balancing the pacing and challenge overall, that by the end of it, I was like, oh, I had a great time with this as Leo. I actually want to go back and see how other characters feel. And that's another thing I think that they really nailed, is every character feels identifiably their own and fun to play in a different way, where playing Leo, that's kind of like the Mario and Mario Kart, little average everywhere. Jumping over and playing a level as Raph, the powerhouse, that's slower than everyone, his range sucks, but you're beating the living fuck out of people. And like it's, you're so just fun. Seeing, and it feels so good, but it's like, oh my God, you're dying so much faster. And then jumping over as different characters, like Donnie, obviously with the range, it just, I'm very surprised at how high quality every single character feels in a different way. Andy, you had your hand raised.
Aside from the vertical mobility we've talked about, what could be added to this game in order to kind of make it an all-timer for you? Or is it an all-timer?
It's all-timer in certain ways. I think that it existing and being as good as it is, this is fantastic. But in terms of replayability, I think that the fun really does come from playing with your friends, and I'll be able to play this with any group of people and have at least an hour of fun, I think, for the rest of my life. And that's cool. But I'm already starting to peter out, where I'm like, all right, I played as a couple of different characters. I don't really feel the pull to max out all their levels. Or like I went back and I got all the collectibles in the levels, and that felt good. I started trying to do all the challenges in the levels, and I was like, you know what? This isn't fun. So I'm not going to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel, sorry, I feel like ahead. The one thing I'd like to see is I was really into the leveling system and like getting new abilities, which is not in the arcade mode. If you do arcade, you just get everything from the jump.
Right.
But I really liked the leveling and skills. I wish that that was a lot deeper.
Mm. Talking about the challenges, that was something I noticed immediately of like, oh, there's a lot of challenges here. Like not even trying them, but like when you get notified that like, oh, you failed this challenge because you weren't supposed to take any damage on this level. I was like, alrighty, that's not going to be a fun time. So personally, like for replayability and stuff like that, like I personally don't need it. Like we played it through one time and like I really enjoyed that time. I personally like don't need to go back to it. That's not like what I was personally looking for. So I was cool to just like have that 2 hour experience and just kind of move on with my life.
Were you, do you think that because of the position we're in, we get these free games? Do you think like 2.5 to 3 hours for what is it? $25?
I don't know. It's on Game Pass.
It's on Game Pass.
Game Pass. Okay.
The question you're asking, like I've seen so many people hop into it and play around for a little bit and hop out. I think because it's on Game Pass, which I think is gonna be, which is huge for the game.
Gotcha. Yeah. I was just thinking like, I was pretty surprised. I didn't know going into it that it was going to be that short. And when I saw the Kind of Funny Plays thumbnail saying full playthrough, 3 hour long video, like, whoa, holy shit. That's a pretty short game, but
is that just a mode? Because like is there not a longer stretched out playthrough scenario.
There's the arcade mode, but I'm pretty sure that's like classic arcade style where it's like you only have a certain amount of lives to be able to get through the entire thing, stuff like that. And like you don't have the leveling system, I believe, like Tim was saying. But no, that's just kind of like, and to me, again, that in my head, that was like, yeah, that's like probably like the length of like a normal arcade game as well. Like, again, that wasn't something I was like super looking for it to be any longer, because I feel like it would have maybe overstayed its welcome if it was any longer. And for $25 as well, not even factoring in Game Pass, like, yeah, I totally see that as like, I think it gives you enough bang for your buck in that $25, not just for like the level of art quality, how fun like it all is when it all comes together with the music, with the animations, with the gameplay and stuff like that. But to have the arcade mode, if you want to have like that more classic arcade style, to have the characters to level in the more story mode, stuff like that. And to have what Tim's talking about of like different friends to be able to experience this with, like, I think it's definitely worth the $25.
Yeah, so it is $25, and I'm with Barrett. I think that like when you play this game, you see where the money goes, right? Like, I think that they didn't need to license these artists, but they did because they believed in it making this experience better. And it's like, I think that they nailed the experience above all. And I think that this is a great kind of test case for more games like this. Like, I'd love to see what an X-Men game could look like, Power Rangers game. Like, I don't know, like something.
Yeah, like, we were talking on stream about like, yeah, it seemed like the Dotemu, or actually not even the publisher, the studio, Tribute, yeah, they were talking about how like they want to do a Simpsons game, right? And like we were talking about like X-Men and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
They were hanging out in the chat while we were playing it on Friday, and they were like gifting a lot of codes and stuff. Shout out to that dev. And yeah, we were asking them questions. We were asking them of like characters that they might want to include, and they kind of tease of like, you'd be surprised of like how much was on the cutting room floor for this game. And
yeah,
if you want to maybe see it as DLC, definitely you know, let the publisher know, because but we would very much enjoy that.
And I do love the idea of, you know, like I love devs who have a specialization, and like it seems like these guys can specialize in doing like these truly classic beat 'em ups. And if the way to do it is to put out these, you know, 3-hour experiences, right? Like, here's a 3-hour Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Next year, we'll be back with a 3-hour Simpsons game. Year after that, a 3-hour X-Men game. Like, I think there's probably an audience there, and if they can continue to get the deals with Game Pass, like, I do think the $25 is pretty steep, and honestly, like, I personally, that is not for me, but I do know that that is probably going to be for so many other people that, you know, are into these kinds of games or grew up with these licensed brawlers that want to return to playing those.
Here's the thing. Beat 'em ups, you know, let's move past them here, but let's leave the past behind, okay, everybody? Look, imagine this art style. Like, I think this is, in my opinion, some of the best pixel art ever. Period. ever. Like, good, I just thought. I love their idea of shading and shapes and silhouettes of characters. I think they have like perfect character design. Give me a goddamn Mega Man game in this art style. Like, a callback to the old school pixel art Mega Man games. Can you imagine what they could do with that? Like, how dope that would look. All I want them to do is like, imagine if they just dropped a screenshot of like, this is what the Mega Man game could look like with like the fake UI. And it's not a game, it's just sort of like a proof of concept.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that would be incredible, dude.
I love that.
I do want to see more evolved takes on beat 'em ups, because I'm right there with you, Andy, that like, yo, yeah, take the same art style or the same skill in development and apply it to like Mega Man or other classic games. But also, like, I want more Sifus in the world, because like Sifu, when I played that, I was like, this is the greatest beat 'em up I've ever played. And I think part of that is just the fact that classic beat 'em ups in some instances just haven't aged as well, and then in other instances just are hard to go back to because of the nature of beat 'em ups. Like, for me growing up, Double Dragon was the one that I played mainly on NES and on Game Boy. And like, you know, that was my shit. But also, like, if I go back and play that game today, I'm sure I'm bored by level 3 or 4, because like it's very basic in setup, right? Whereas like a Sifu as a brawler, like when I first played it, I remember describing it as, you know, Fighting Force meets Hotline Miami type shit, right? And like, even Fighting Force, as like not remarkable as Fighting Force is, no offense for Fighting Force, like when I played that on N64, I was like, oh shit, like, all right, cool, beat 'em ups are 3D now, like you can do something with this, you know? Like, I want to see the genre continue to take steps like that, and like I would be totally down for a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle in the vein of Sifu, where it is like, here is a you know, 3D action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, still a brawler, but it's a brawler with the learnings of what like modern games are doing today. I think that'd be fucking, I think that would be dope as hell.
You should try Streets of Rage 4.
You think so?
Yeah. That it's so, it's kind of what you're explaining here.
I'm about to download that.
Somebody in my comment in my Twitter mentions was like, I love this game and I agree with you about the movement. He said they said Streets of Rage 3 added a vertical movement thing where you do you have like a vertical roll or something like that, and they took it out of Streets of Rage 4, which was like disappointing to that person because like that game's another game which art style is like undefeated. The amount of love put into Streets of Rage 4 art style with them being 2D sprites, but when you walk around light sources, they're being affected and shaded and lit correctly, and just the most like, this is magic game dev shit. Like, it's unbelievable to kind of see in action. And I think that like, if they were able to make a game like this move a little bit faster, it would be like a dream come true.
Bear, this is Streets of Rage 4 footage you're showing right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I realized the game looked like that. Mm-hmm. I thought it looked more like TMNT. Holy shit.
No, yeah, no, it's not the... Now, they do have DLC stuff where you can download... You can make your character look like an 8-bit character. It's just like a little silly skin that they have. But no, it is like 2D hand-drawn. And again, when you're like... If a light source passes over you, like, even though you're a flat 2D sprite, the fucking like lighting is like hitting the character so correctly. Sick. It's so sick, dude.
Yeah, it really is cool. There's another one that I want to recommend to you, Andy. It's older, but I was talking to Jared Petty about this as well. It's on the Sega Saturn and it must be somewhere else, but Guardian Heroes. Mm. And if you've played Mighty Morphin Power Rangers on the Super Nintendo or Genesis, it did a similar thing where it takes the idea of these 2D beat 'em ups where you're just kind of going left to right and punching people, but there's different planes. So you hit the R or L button to transfer back and forth, kind of like Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze in a way, where it's like you're either on the front pane or the back pane.
And that's cool.
You can see it here where the characters like pop to the front and then you have to like get on the different layer to be able to fight them. And it's a lot clearer, but you just don't have as much like, you don't really have any 3D movement in terms of using the joystick or anything, but
sure.
I would love to see a modern take on this type of thing, right? Like, this looks dated, but like, what's the 2022 version look like?
Yeah.
This still looks good though.
It looks dope as hell.
Oh yeah. The Saturn thing about it, such yeah. great.
2D 8-bit age is the best.
Yeah.
Or 16-bit, 32-bit, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Before we move on to our next game, Neon White, let me tell you about our sponsor.
Shout out to Uplift for sponsoring this episode. I've been using my Uplift desk for well over a year now. I love the thing so much, I decided to write a rap song for them.
The build quality is real good. It's made of real high quality wood.
They didn't ask for it, I just did it anyway. Getting my Uplift desk immediately improved my mood. Whenever I'm on shows, I'm standing up, I'm feeling a lot more energetic. And also, I kind of feel like I was just maybe creating some bad habits sitting down at a desk all day. I would move my legs up, I'd sit underneath my legs on my chair, and eventually all that stuff just created really bad back pain for me. Choose from laminate, whiteboard, bamboo, solid wood, butcher block, or even custom solid wood or laminate options. Uplift Desk won New York Times Wire Cutter's Best Standing Desk from 2019 to 2022. And while I'm at it, I'm just gonna give them an award as well. Best standing desk that I use in my bedroom from when they sent it to me until now. Uplift Desk have a 15-year warranty. They ship the same day you order with free shipping and free return shipping. So if you've been feeling the effects of sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day, maybe you want some more energy in your life, maybe you want to do squats in the middle of a Zoom call or something, uplift your life. Go to kindoffunny.com/uplift.
Neon White taking over the world. I've only got to play for about 10 minutes, so I'm going to shut up and I want to hear. Let's start with Blessing.
God damn this game. This game is so damn good. So if you're unaware of what Neon White is, right? It is like half visual novel and then like half first person platformer action game with a lot of speedrunning elements, with also card mechanics too. Like, there's so much that the game is doing, and like, it sounds complicated, but once you hop in, it is surprisingly simple for what it is. Like, basically it is get from point A to point B as fast as you can, and it is incredible. Like, I want to say it's taken me about 9 hours to finish, And level to level, it feels like it amps things up in such a incredible way, right? Like I said, right? Every level feels like it's designed for speedrunning. And I've never had a game as much as this game really make me actually want to speedrun the levels and look at my friends' times, look at the world leaderboards and go, all right, how do I do that? Like, how do I go as fast as possible? Stylistically, the game looks gorgeous. Like,
that's why you're Sonic in the intro, Bless.
Because I gotta go fast.
You gotta go fast.
I gotta go fast. Stylistically, I think the game looks gorgeous too. Like, in terms of environments, the architecture reminds me of Mirror's Edge a bit with how polished and like bright, vibrant, and like white all the architecture is. But then also reminds me, if you've played Paradise Killer when that came out, the character models remind me a little bit of that as well, with like, one, how they look in the world, but then also the style of it, right? Like, you're playing as a character named White, who is a neon. Basically, what that means is that you're in this like limbo area between heaven and hell, and you're essentially fighting to get access into heaven. And like, neons, I believe, are the beings that essentially exist between the heaven and hell space. And so you're going through, you're fighting, you're doing these arena challenges basically to fight your way up. And everything about the game stylistically is so unique, different, and really goes for it. It doesn't all land for me. Like, a lot of the story elements for me are forgettable, but I do think that there is an audience that stuff is for. It reminds me of dating sim style visual novel content where the characters are flirty to each other. The story's kind of corny, but kind of interesting at the same time. Like, that's the thing, is the story is interesting enough to where I'm not skipping through everything. Like, if the actual overarching narrative of them being these beings in limbo trying to do all this shit, if that overarching narrative was not engaging, I probably would hit the square button to fast forward through everything, because the actual dialogue itself is so like, oh man, you're so hot, oh man, I'm hot too, oh man, are we gonna kiss? no, we're not gonna, like, it's, that is legit, like, that type of shit that, like,
somebody clip that out, please.
It's, yeah, it's so disgusting, man. It's so disgusting. But like, it's also like, I know this is for somebody, and like, for me, as, and me and Bear, I'm sure, as like the persona people are like, yeah, I'm used to this. Like, I know what this is. But like, you know, disregarding all that, the actual gameplay itself, like getting into the actual arenas to go through the levels, it is just such an exhilarating experience that takes me back to when we're talking about indie games, right? Especially 2022 indie games. Like, takes me back to Sifu with how much fun I had getting my hands on that game, right? Like, I'm having a similar amount of fun in this game, going through a level, collecting the cards, because, again, the level design is so good. They know exactly what cards to give you at the right time. And, like, these levels are designed for you to play a certain way and then also to kind of break them in a certain way. And so as you're going, you are picking up, like, let's say if you pick up the fireball card, right? The fireball card is doubles as a shotgun, but then if you discard it, you'll do like a quick like dash maneuver. And so like the levels place out enemies and cards in specific ways to where you're just zooming through them, because you get the fireball, you do the dash, you get the stomp card, you do the stomp move into an enemy that'll then bounce you up, and boom, you got to the end in 30 seconds. Now, do you want to try to do it in 25 seconds? And it's the perfect gameplay loop for me. Like, I absolutely love this kind of game. And I think, for me, this is one of the best ones to do it in this way.
I want to... obviously, the game is kind of advertising itself as, yes, it has cards and this and that. I want to move away from that. The game, you're doing a bad job of... I feel like all marketing. The players are doing the PR and marketing for the game right now. Because when the game was starting to come out, we kept on hearing about this card system. And you see these cards and... I believe I heard Janet on a Games Daily, I believe, talking about like, you know, I'm not a big fan of card deck, you know, builders and things of that nature. This is not a card deck builder. Just whenever you hear the word card, just think of like item or power up. That's all it is. It's a weapon with a secondary ability. Yeah, it's a weapon with like, it does something else, and it either shoots the thing, or if you right click in my on my setup, it does a maneuver, whether it's a vertical maneuver or horizontal or directional. Don't think of deck building. It's not like that complicated.
I think the reason why they wanted to do is cards is just because literally because they use the word discard. Like when you get rid of this weapon, it does this like boost or whatever, or, you know, it lets you stomp on the ground really hard. But you no longer have this weapon. I think that was like kind of their mindset with that. But yeah, I was definitely confused like in when this originally got revealed, and then I kind of forgot about it. And when it was like starting to come back and it was like kind of imminent in its release, I was like, kind of like, yeah, all over the place of like, oh, it's a card game, but it's kind of a shooter game as well. I was really confused. But then when you guys were streaming it on Thursday last week and I was actually like watching you play it, Andy, I was like, oh, this is just it's a speedrun game with, you know, with guns. Cool. That's all I needed. And I didn't even really know about like the whole story and stuff before going into it. And then, yeah.
And as far as the story goes, like, Blessing Barrett, I know you all have been absorbing it, getting into it. I'm hitting the F button, skipping everything. I don't give a damn. Steve Bloom, I love you. I don't care for many of the other voice actors in this game. And actually, I've never felt older in my life because somebody tagged me in a video tagged a screenshot on Twitter from Alana, who had posted a video like at 1 a.m. last night of her playing Neon White. And it was like the quote of like, God damn it, 9 seconds, Andy, what the fuck? And so I was like, oh, Alana played Neon White. Let me go check it out. And then I saw in the comments section, somebody said, is that the voice of Brimstone from Valorant? I'm like, homie, that's fucking Spike Spiegel, dog. What do you mean? He's Brimstone from Valorant, but that's Spike Spiegel, man. Come on. Oh, I felt awful. Yeah,
the voice cast in the game is like surprisingly kind of stacked.
Anyway, whenever they get to the dialogue, though, bless, I'm just like, F, fast forward. And luckily, it's a great system. It doesn't make you listen to the dialogue. It knows sometimes that you just kind of, you're only there for the gameplay. And I know a lot of video games don't allow you to do that. And maybe they think that, like, no, our story is super important. You need to listen to this. Nah, man, I think the game knows what certain audiences are going to be there for. Some people are going to be into the dating melodrama kind of bullshit anime stuff. And some people are just going to be there for the gameplay. And for me, I'm all about the gameplay. And I am about 60% of the way done with the game. And I'm 23 hours in. I'm just going for world records, PBs all day and night. Jeff Grubb challenged me last night. I had to take his ass out. It's just, you know, it's a constant thing. Everybody just keeps on stepping up to the plate. It's like, I mean, just keep brushing the haters off, you know, Tim? Just kind of brush the haters off, dude.
Hey, I'm proud of it. The game's fantastic.
It's fun.
I love seeing this because it's rare that you get involved in this whole competitive scene. Because I remember, you know, Barrett and even Bless used to, with Mario Odyssey and all that, like get into...
And that's come back in a very real way.
I love that. And Jeff Grubb with Astro Boy, or not Astro Boy.
Astrobot. Astro's
Playroom. Yeah, exactly. So, and I've been watching all you guys' clips of this stuff, and it you sold me on this game. Like, you guys is hyped for it the last week. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I downloaded it, and I can't wait to play it more. I just wanted to play more Shredder's Revenge first. But my question for you is, Bless kind of said this at the top, that, like, he thinks this is going to be one of the big ones for the year. Andy, I know you're pretty locked in there with Elden Ring at number one, but do you see this getting into the top three maybe for you?
I don't think top three. I do think it'll be maybe top six, especially with Kirby kind of popping in. I guess I'd have to kind of really evaluate and see what I think this game kind of breaks a rule of mine when it comes to judging games, because I'm always like, what is the developer trying to do and do they succeed in it? And do they succeed in telling a good narrative, engaging story? I don't know, because I'm skipping past it. But like, I almost don't care. And that's the opposite for me with games like Horizon Forbidden West, where they're not making me care enough about these characters right now for me to want to hear what these characters have to say. Mm. I just want to get back to the gameplay. And this game, I should be docking it points for that, but I'm loving that I could just hit the F button and get back to the gameplay because I'm having so much fun with it. And I do think it'll be there. This is a game that when Roger and I were talking about it, I was like, yeah, it's a fun game, but I think in any other year, you know, I think this year is thought to be one of the weaker years of recent times. And I think that my opinion has certainly changed a bit where I think it will sneak in maybe top five, top six, which is like, if you would have told me that looking at the videos, I would have been like, no, this just looks like any other fun game I would have played, a Boomerang X or
that's what I was going to make the comparison. Because for me, I think this game is it's a more fun Boomerang X for me, right? Like, I think the art style is more vibrant. And I really dug Boomerang X, but I think this is doing everything that Boomerang X did, but to a greater extent, just with how much it leans into its own level design and really pushes the player to replay, right? Like, it's more content, and there is a story that, again, for some people I think is gonna hit. That is the one thing that really is holding it back on my list. Like, I look back at my list right now for game of the year stuff, right? And like, at the top of it is Elden Ring, below that is Sifu and Horizon, and I think for me right now, Neon White is sitting in that Sifu Horizon range, and I could see it popping down mainly because the story just didn't engage me as much and I didn't care about that stuff. But when you're talking about pure gameplay, like, for me, this game is, by the end of the year, I think it's going to be a standout for how well put together it is, how great the level design is, how great the progression is. Like, by the time I got to the last couple of missions, which are essentially like a stretch of levels, I could not believe how the game was still building on itself, adding in new mechanics, and adding in mechanics that, like, felt exciting, you know? Because, like, halfway through the game, I was like, all right, hopefully they don't add in too much, because now I feel like I have all these cards, and if I'm getting to a place where it wants me to grab a yellow card, grab a green card, now switch back to the yellow card and do the yellow card, shout out to yellow card. You know, like, if it has me juggling a bunch of different mechanics and all this stuff, am I going to get lost in the sauce and not know, like, which way I'm facing or which card I'm holding or which enemy to hop onto because it's throwing so much at me at the same time? But surprisingly, the level design is so fucking good. But by the time you get toward the end of the game, where I'm like, all right, here's a new card, and we've built a level specifically for you to take advantage of it, and you are getting other cards, but like, once you get the next card, you're gonna know exactly what to do with it. You're gonna turn to the left, see the balloon enemy, and you're gonna know exactly like where to go with it. Or you're gonna look up, see a glass wall, and you're gonna know exactly how to use the XYZ thing. Like, it is so phenomenally laid out in the level design. And I honestly do think it's standout. But yeah, by the end of the year, I do think I don't know if we're going to talk about it in like the overall game of the year conversation. I think for Kind of Funny, it might end up in our top five, though. Like, I could see it being in there.
Definitely like the most surprising of all of the titles so far this year. I'd say like this and Trek to Yomi are probably the most surprising for opposite reasons. I just was not expecting to have this much fun with the game, and I didn't know what it was going to be going for necessarily. Soundtrack kicks ass,
dude, and the soundtrack is so good.
Again, I'm only like 60% of the way done, and I unlocked a weapon recently that it just keeps on finding ways to stay interesting and stay fun and stay creative. More importantly, I never feel like the levels are getting stale.
That's awesome.
Bear, you beat it, right?
Yeah, I rolled credits on it last night, and yeah, it probably took me like 15, 20 hours to roll credits, but I think half of that time was just going back to other, like, going back and replaying levels and getting world records. When I checked last night, I think in, like, the level select menu, levels that are, like, marked as, like, with the red icon, so it means that you once had the world record. I'm playing on Twitch, though, so, like, I'm not sharing, like, my records with y'all that are playing on PC, but like, I think in total I've had 10 different levels where I've had the world record, and I think out of those 10 I still have like 5 still at the number one spot. And it's just like, I knew going into this game it was going to be dangerous for me, because yeah, it took me back to the Mario Odyssey days of just bullying Blessing and Alex Van Aken randomly on any random holiday.
It was a back and forth for a while there. And yeah, then you got 16 seconds on that one level, and I was like, no, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. And it just got into that danger, especially because, like, I have no friends on Switch that are playing this, so all I have is to compare the worldwide list. So now I'm just, like, obsessed of being like, well, I got to be top 5 in this level, or I got to be top 1 on this level and stuff like that. I would say, as far as, like, with the story for you personally, Andy, like, I don't know if you should count points against it because of how much you're like digging the story, or not digging the gameplay and the actual like level design and all that stuff. Like, you're just so obsessed with that, like, that you're not giving like a chance to the story, which I don't know if you should give like knock points against. I know it's not for everybody. Like, it's definitely
gave it a shot. Okay. I didn't just immediately start skipping, like, but after two conversations, I was like, okay, let me just.
The voice acting does feel very like, it's of a certain style that it will turn a lot of people off. Yeah, like, it turned me off.
It was when Yellow popped in, to be fair. When Yellow popped in, it was like, hey, what's going on, White? I was like, oh, fuck this.
Shout out to my boy Wallow from Bravest Warriors. Wallow from Bravest Warriors is great. I was really excited when he popped up in this game. I know it's going to turn some people away. I personally enjoyed it. You know, there's a subtle, maybe not so subtle, like, commentary on like working class and kind of like attaching a carrot at the end of the rope for for people in that like kind of matter and like kind of the ways that structural systems like work against people who are just trying to exist out here. I was into that, but I understand maybe the presentation of that with the voice acting, with the kind of just like also just like the you just get these like kind of like drawings just kind of standing next to each other and stuff. Not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but I was personally into it. That mixed with just like the really addicting speedrun focus gameplay. Yeah, this is a top three for me for sure. I would be surprised if this gets knocked out of the top five by the end of the year.
Listeners out there, if you don't frequent the YouTube channels very often, I'd highly recommend you watch. There was one of the days on the Kind of Funny Plays channel, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, where I decided to play Neon White because Nick had to do some very important business stuff. And he was like, I may be late or I may not be there at all. I was like, all right, don't worry about it. I'll play Neon White. And so I started playing it and I wasn't really sure how the audience was going to be into it. And then Roger popped in and I was really trying to beat one of Roger's scores. And I was going about this level that you're watching on screen right now in the completely dumbest shit way possible. I was like doing something that I shouldn't have been doing. I was like, oh, I could just do it this way. And Roger popped in and he was talking mess and ended up beating his record. And it was hilarious. It was like right when he popped in, he was going to talk shit and I beat his record. And it was really, really
that
funny.
That was the funniest thing.
But then we got to a level where Roger and I are going back and forth against each other. And then he has this sort of eureka moment, and it's on camera, and he figures out a crazy skip. And this was on day two of the game being out, maybe day one of the game being out. It had been out for several hours by this point. And Roger had figured out this skip, and he was like, oh my God. And he found out this awesome way to kind of circumvent all this shit. And he beat my time by like several seconds. I was like, well, I'm just going to go to school off of you then, Roger. And I went to school off of him and we were battling to get world rank number one. And the moment it happens was just so fucking awesome. And for a moment, it's like I was ranked two and Roger was three because of the skip we discovered. And obviously player one knew about the skip and player four knew about the skip because player four was Ben Esposito, the creator of the game. And then this random player named Q started climbing up the ranks and we're like, Roger, Q's coming for you. And Q surpassed Roger. We're like, fuck you, Q. But then when I hit world rank number one and I was rank one of the world on PC for maybe 3 hours.
Hell yeah.
I don't care. That was my moment. Yeah. I was rank one on PC for several hours and that was incredible.
Exhilarating game, man. Like there's one of the levels toward the end of the game is like a longer, probably like maybe like 3 to 4 minute level.
A couple like 3 to 5 minute levels near the end.
Yeah, the longest level in the game legit had me stressing real hard.
Oh my god! Yeah,
because like there's like you know a regular run in for a level in the game is probably anywhere from 20 seconds to a minute long. Because these are fast ass levels that you're just blowing through. But like there's a level that's like maybe 4 minutes long probably about. And when I tell you that I was stressing, not even because like I couldn't beat the level, because I'm sure if I took it in a patient way, I probably would have gotten to the end if I just like took it one platform at a time. It's the fact that like you feel this innate pressure to want to speedrun. And so I'm like, oh, I know exactly what I need to do for this first half. Let me just do it fast. And I die over and over and over again because I always mess up one thing, because it's like when you get to the end of Cuphead, and I'm sure there's a boss toward the end of Cuphead that's like way longer than the other ones. And it's like a test of endurance situation. Is that King Dice? Yeah, like yeah. Neon White has that. And I'm sure it's not anywhere near as bad as King Dice. But for me, I was like, why can't I get to the fucking end of this level? Like, this shit is fucking killing me.
Are you talking about the very last level?
Not the very last one. It's like the last level of like mission 11 or chapter 11.
Okay.
If you know what it's the one where it takes you to the gauntlet of all the different cards, basically.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that one was fucking me up. But I do want to give another shout out, right? And you mentioned the soundtrack. I was not digging the soundtrack much at first. I was like, oh, okay, they're leaning in a drum and bass. Like, all right, that's fine. When I tell you that by maybe hour three of the game, I was jamming out so hard. And I was logging into Spotify to look up drum and bass playlists. Like, the soundtrack takes me back to playing like classic games on like PS2 or even like I think Andy mentioned Dreamcast on Twitter of like this game has Dreamcast vibes. It takes me back to that of like, yeah, this reminds me of my first time listening to Jet Set Radio and hearing that soundtrack and going, oh shit, I gotta listen to more of this. Like, this is incredible.
It has I just think of the word Dreamcast. I think of like Liquid for some reason.
The logo, I see it.
Maybe like Liquid Television or some MTV Toonami. Like, it just has those late 90s vibes to it, visually, stylistically.
It's so cool.
Again, Roger on his TikTok review pointed out the little useless UI at the bottom.
The UI is so dumb.
Where, neon white, your character is on the bottom left, who is not only reactive and reacting to the world. Whenever you jump, whenever you fall down, you see his little thing moving around, but it has 90 different fonts on the bottom left, and it says, like, as above, so below, and it's like, what the fuck is this
shit?
It's so
ridiculous. It's supposed to be so dramatic. And, like, maybe some weird information about him.
It's like shit that you do not need there. I want to give a shout out to you, to Ben Esposito, the developer. He on TikTok talked about how people would ask him, hey, why isn't there like a gun model in the game? Like, you have all these different cards that are basically guns. Why didn't you just model a gun? And he was like, I just couldn't figure it out. Like, I wanted it to model a gun, but like every time I try to put a gun in there, it would come out too wide. And so I just got annoyed and decided not to have guns in there, which is hilarious. But also, like, that this man's previous game was Donut County. Like, a completely different type genre of game.
That's
like,
nuts. I didn't know that.
Yes. Like, this guy is insane with his skill. And, like, I'm very excited. Like, he's now become somebody who, I'm paying attention to whatever you do next. You have some versatility to you. What was that, Andy? Banana?
I was going
to
say, yeah, keep an eye on him. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, keep an eye on him.
What was that, banana?
Oh, he said banana. I was like, yeah, he made bananas, too.
I love it. Yeah, any closing words on Neon White?
I think it's a game of the year contender. I think we have failed as an industry if we're not talking about this as a whole at the end of the year. While the story might not be everybody's cup of tea, I think just purely on a gameplay, moment-to-moment level design conversation, I think it is seriously one of the best things to come out this year, and y'all should check it out. It is very fun, very addicting. If you get addicted to competitive the speedrun type of stuff like that, you know, take care of yourself. Don't be like me where it's all you're doing when you're not doing chores over the weekend, right? I had an absolute blast, and I need to walk away from it. Now that I've rolled credits, I just, like, need to give myself a break and not worry about what world records I still have.
Yeah, I took last night I got a tweet from Jeff Grubb, and he was, like, tweeting at me and Dan Reichert, and he was like, I can't believe y'all play this game so slow.
God,
I was like,
all
right, motherfucker. Like, all right, so I hopped in, and I was like, let me wipe your ass out. I just got to fight. I'm busy, all right? I'm playing other shit, yeah, Jeff Grubb.
That's been my thing. Is like, I've been playing to finish the game. I've not necessarily been trying to, like, leaderboard chase. Now that I finished the game, I'm about to double back and fuck all y'all.
I'm coming after this ass.
I'm coming after
this dumb truck.
The last two things I'll say, I wish I knew this kind of bug. I think the game clock will tell you how long it took you to beat the game. Once you've rolled credits, I think my Switch counted as like whenever I was in rest mode, but I still had the game on because it says I have like 3,300 minutes and something like that. I'm like, there's no way I put 55 hours into this game in the last 4 days. There's that. And then the one thing, because playing on Switch, there's like a level of control with the camera that I don't have that I do kind of want for the Switch, where I was saying this on Twitter, where I feel like a lot of like, when I'm pre-lining shots before I can actually see an enemy, I feel like that's more out of a necessity rather than strategy. Like, for me to even, like, have a chance to shoot an enemy, it's more of, like, like memorizing the level and stuff like that. Something, a level of control that I definitely know I would have if I was playing on mouse and keyboard.
Here, let me tell you about the Steam Deck and gyro control.
Oh, I think I would absolutely hate gyro control. I hate gyro.
Honestly, I don't like it either. Roger loves it. Roger was the one that was like, "Yo, get on gyro for this game," and I tried it. And I
wouldn't be surprised if Roger was playing with Nick Scarpino on PS5 with mouse and keyboard with the inverted controls and stuff like that. So
that's where all the real Splatoon players play on gyro, man.
Maybe when Splatoon comes out, I'll get on the gyro back.
Get it where you fit in, man.
They're super into
gyro. Let me get
in
where I fit in, and yeah, like, to Barrett's point about like end of the year stuff, right? Like, for me, this is a game that made me go, oh shit, Sifu has got competition. You know, like, this is like this one is like spurring up with Sifu, right? With, like, the indie games that have fucking dope ass, great ass gameplay and great presentation. So look out, Sifu.
Love that. Well, let us know in the comments below what you think of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge and Neon White. If you haven't given Neon White a chance yet, sounds like maybe you should, even if the story might not be for you. But let us know what you think. Until next time, we're about to get into the Patreon exclusive post show. It's going to be worth the dollar. I goddamn guarantee that. But until next time, love you all. Bye.
Bye.